Blog Talk Radio.
Better grab everything I can.
You're gonna want to see this. This is gonna be good.
Francis!
What? Grabbing pills. Grabbing pills.
Grabbing pills.
Pills here!
Grabbing pills.
Woo!
Grabbing pills.
Yeah!
Grabbing pills. Pills.
Nice.
Sounds great.
Starting something else. Okay, there we go. Can never keep a good geek down. There we go. Good morning, lovely people. It is Thursday.
It is Thursday, and I need the weekend.
And you're listening to How to Kill Your Birds. No, I'm kidding. It's one of those days. I just want to go back to sleep.
I agree.
Well, see, she has the audacity to yawn.
I know, right?
The unmitigated gall to yawn on the show. Did y'all hear that?
I know. And I just woke up from a nap not too long ago, too. I ought to be all nice and rested. No.
I woke up from a sleep not too long ago. I am a gamer. What can I say?
I was in bed. It was like 7:30, and I was out. I was crashed out.
I went to bed several times. Not like that.
Uh-huh.
I went to
those actually. Are fun too.
Yeah, those are fun. If that was the case, it'd be a whole different kind of morning. But no, sadly, wasn't that kind of sleeping.
Aww.
Boo.
Boo. Boo.
Boo. I want to complain to my landlord. No. You know, we never say this anymore. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey, and I'm Corey.
And I am Ginger.
And this is Nightline. No, I'm kidding.
How to catch a geek.
How to catch a geek. Oh, see, just wrong. Just wrong. So right now, what I'm staring at is a trailer for Payday Heist. Anybody out there want to play this game?
I don't know. Tell me about it.
I don't know anything about it. I was just asking.
Oh, no. Well, then, no.
You know, they don't tell us about the game sometimes. They just like to send a trailer. No, there's a fact sheet.
I noticed that, too. Sometimes they'll just send us trailers. It's kind of like, can you tell me anything about your game?
We don't know. And it's a huge fact sheet, so it's not downloaded. So, Ginger, go ahead and tell them about something else while I wait for this ginormous. It's a Word document. Why would a Word document need to be 3 megabytes? I'm just curious.
Oh, wow. It contains the secrets to everything.
See, that's the problem with Sony. Bloatware. Even in their Word documents. We need for y'all to fix that.
All right. So Transgaming announces winner of the $50,000 Game Tree Developer Competition.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I like trees.
I know. They're all leafy.
Don't mail.
Yeah. All right. People's Thursday. Forgive us. And we're tired. We're so tired. Martial arts-themed board game Yodishi impresses judges to clinch top prize and industry recognition. All right. So Transgaming Incorporated, we don't care about that, today announced the winner of Transgaming's Game Tree Developer Competition, Yodishi, by Proper Games. Yodishi is a cerebral, martial arts-themed board game that challenges players of all levels with a unique multiplayer puzzle experience. Gamers can experience the excitement of incredible gains and stunning losses as they engage both real and simulated opponents with a range of thought-provoking strategies. Featuring highly immersive and fully customizable gameplay, the game was chosen as the grand prize winner of Transgaming's Game Tree Developer Competition. The influential celebrity judges include actors, directors, producers, and writer LeVar Burton. Actor, director, producer, and writer LeVar Burton, president of development at Jerry Bruckheimer Games Incorporated, Jay Cohen, and Lauren Alani, co-founder of Odd Mob Incorporation. The competition launched in January, where developers were offered the chance to win $50,000 to have their game featured on the GameTree TV platform for smart TV. LeVar Burton, actor, director, producer, writer, and judge. Really, do we need all of those?
Yes, of course we do.
apparently. Says, we were highly impressed by the level of skill that all the finalists demonstrated. In the end, it came down to talent, attention to detail, and the overall quality of the winning game. All right, so we've been able to offer developers the chance to reach a global audience with GameTree TV, a fantastic opportunity for a new developer eager to make their mark on the industry. It's an exciting time for developers. The way we all interact with games and entertainment on a daily basis is changing rapidly, and transgaming is playing a vital part in the process. This is also coming from Burton. All right, so the winning announcement was made at the industry-leading casual gaming conference, Casual Connect, in Seattle this week. As part of the winning prize, Yodeshi will be featured and distributed on the GameTree TV platform, making it accessible to multi-millions of smart TV users as the GameTree TV market adoption continues to grow. Who is adopting that and why? Don't do that, people. Our passion for discovering, promoting, and distributing the innovative content developed by the incredibly talented independent game development community is the main reason we decided to run this competition. We've received an overwhelming response from developers around the world, and we're thrilled by the quality of the submissions. This is coming from Vikas Gupta, CEO and President of Trans Gaming. GameTree TV is emerging as a top new gaming platform, and we are extremely happy that Yodeshi and all our finalists are going to be part of that experience. My sincere congratulations go out to Yodeshi and Proper Games.
Yay!
Yeah, so smart TV gaming platform. No, people, just no.
I'm trying to be positive. Yay!
Yay!
Do try to contain ourselves. That's what people are saying. Please do try to contain yourself. All right. So our lovely trailer is up if you want to check out that game. But let me tell you about it. And I just posted on Facebook. Yay!
Yay!
So apparently The Heist, we've talked about it before.
The Heist.
Is going to be out. They're just saying this year. They didn't give us a release date. I love when they send us these. They're so vague. They won't tell us how much it costs. But here's what I can tell you. It's rated M. I can't tell you that either. The rating is even pending. But it may contain inappropriate content for children. The developer is a company called Overkill, being published by Sony. And it's going to be digital download, so there will not be a hard copy. But it will only be for PlayStation 3 and PC, obviously, since it's being distributed by Sony. They're saying it's an action-filled first-person shooter game for the PlayStation Network and PC that lets you, the player, take on the role of a hardened career criminal executing intense, dynamic heists in constant pursuit of the next big score. You can navigate diverse urban settings with three partners in crime. Yes, three partners in crime, controlled either by the AI or your homies on PlayStation in co-op multiplayer. You can load out an array of weaponry and special high-stake heists, including bank robberies, prisoner extractions, and armored car hijackings. Time for a payday. So get your mask and get to work.
Very nice. Very
wait, wait, now I got some other stuff to tell you.
Oh, what else you got?
Okay, so they also gave us some key features. You have six high-intensity heists, so you can blow the roof off of buildings, extract the safe via helicopter, or empty the vault at the First World Bank. There's, of course, interactive co-op play, so you can be you or an AI, or I'm sure two if you win an AI. Or you can have, and you can have up to four people. Two roles.
There's
a medikit. No, that's not how you said. There's a medikit over here. Where is the ginger? Oh, I picked it up.
Well, it was over there.
That's all in her plan to make you bait for whatever game you're playing. You can
exactly.
Also sell some hostages. Let me see what else you got. You got your dynamic environments, adaptive enemy behavior, shifting entry points, which means every time you play, it'll be a different place. You have to come in. You can rappel down. Oh, I'm sorry. FBI agents can rappel down on ropes through the skylights. SWAT teams will be coming after you, crawling through ventilation shafts. Yeah, that sounds kind of hot. You get to choose.
That sounds kind of hot.
Yeah, you get to choose a specialty. You can be assault, sharpshooter, or support. You can unlock trip mines, create silenced pistols, machine guns, and much more. You can also be vocal and shout directions to your co-op crew as well as police. Yeah, if they want to survive, take their cut. So that means your AI. Yeah. Ginger, are you still there?
I'm still here.
You got
I muted myself for a second.
It got slowly quiet. It didn't go suddenly quiet. So I was like, wow.
That's odd.
Weird. You can also your hostages. If anyone the crew is taken custody, you can trade the hostages that you get to get your crew members meeting your objectives. And, of course, it is a PlayStation or PC. So for keyboard and mouse marksmen, as well as the handheld controller snipers, Payday is the Uber FPS, high intensity shooter fix. There's also some additional heists they'll be offering via DLC and weapons and all kinds of coolness they're offering. Again, I have no idea how much this is going to cost, but they say the DLC will be less than half the price for the total game. So we do have our contact over there. I will see if I can wrangle some details out of her. I got her phone number. I may just call and yell in her ear.
Girl, we got your number.
That's, and it is a girl. I'm going to call as soon as she picks up. I'm going to yell, get down!
All right.
I don't think she's going to like that.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
What you got? What you got?
I got the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. I think we all have one of those. Let's not talk about it on the air.
Yeah, too early for that. Later tonight. So, GamePolitics.com this morning looks like they pulled this from Industry Gamers. $249, the sweet spot for Wii U.
I told you.
Oh, yes. All right, so in the latest edition of Industry Gamers' monthly series, Pachter's Podium, Wedbush Securities analyst Michael Pachter talks about the pricing sweet spot for the Wii U. According to Pachter, the sweet spot is a price point of right around $249. Pachter said that a higher price point, especially anything near $399, would surprise him. All right, so exactly what does he have to say? All right, so Industry Gamers asks, what do you think the upper price limit will be for the Wii U? And can Nintendo actually compete given that a year or two after Wii U launches, Xbox 720 and possibly PS4 will launch and will likely be significantly more powerful, and there will also be a very cheap Xbox 360 and PS3 units for sale? Pachter says, it would surprise me a lot if the Wii U cost more than $399. I think that the sweet spot is $249.99. Pricing really depends upon whether the other console bundles, PS3 with Move and 360 Kinect, are priced at the same time, or priced at the time the Wii U launches, because people who don't yet have a console are likely to choose among the three offerings, and the biggest driver in the purchase decision is usually the price. I have repeatedly said I thought the next generation Wii should come out in 2009, then 2010, and when it was clear that it wasn't happening, I have repeatedly said that a later launch was too late, as it will come too close to the next generation launches for the other console manufacturers. Thus, the question right now about whether the Wii U can compete with the PS4 and Xbox 720 is just a setup for me to say I was right. I know how much all of the industry gamers readers like to acknowledge when I'm right, so thank you for a question that allows them to do so. Wow, cocky. All right, so Pachter goes on to say that the top games of the holiday season will be Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. He estimates the sales during that time period of 20 million units worldwide, Battlefield 3 around 8 million, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword around 10 million, Gears of War 3 around 10 million, and FIFA 12, 7 million this holiday. He also adds that he does not expect 7 million units in sales for either Elder Scrolls V Skyrim or Batman Arkham City, but admits that he could be wrong about that.
I think you are definitely wrong about those two. Those are two very popular games, and I'm a big Elder Scrolls fan.
Well, I guess we'll see. But, you know, people have been saying, I don't know.
I am not in agreement that it has to compete with the Xbox or the PlayStation, because here's the thing about being first out, you get compared to the people that come after you. So if that console is as amazing as we think it's going to be, and the Xbox and the PlayStation aren't, we're going to have a repeat of what just happened in the past few years. Anyway, move it along.
Moving right along.
Well, It's lovely, man. Is Ginger singing?
Ginger may be a little hyper this morning.
Ginger is singing. Do y'all hear that? Well,
so anyways, we're saying.
Well, former Sony Worldwide Studios boss Phil Harrison is saying that crunching is a relic of the past, of the 20th century. He said that the problems of crunch are primarily linked to physical products, and as the industry adopts more digital models, traditionally long hours, weekend working, and demotivated staff should ease. He was speaking at a panel, the Develop Conference in Brighton today, and Harris, who's the Freestyle Games co-founder, along with Chris Lee and Frontier's David Brobin, all agree that the industry is getting better at handling crunch, although it's 20 services have crunch, services have a constant hum. He says, if you're building products for Blu-ray or DVD or a particular release date, we always talk about finishing them with a crescendo of energy and activity, but a service is when you launch. It's when you start. Services have their own updates, and crunch, therefore, should disappear in the future. The issue of crunch, of course, has been raised again this year after the completion of the Team Bondi hit L.A. Noire, where a troubled 7-year product led to accusations of a broken development environment, overwork, and exploitation. According to Lee, part of the problem is not communicating clearly to staff is necessary, and the finance work more extreme working hours. For many years, there wasn't a crunch. A lot of people indulged in it because it seemed to be the industry norm. Find a product management perspective. From a product management perspective, we've go better. We've got, Lord, who writes this stuff? From a scheduling perspective, we've got better. The thing I've made a mistake with in the past is not communicating why we're crunching, why it's important, that it's not just something that we do because we can. It's not we're not doing it in naivety that it doesn't in the naivety that it doesn't impact on our lives. Also, Elite creator Robin added that it can be difficult motivating a team working on projects with such long development cycles. So it's a difficult thing to manage and easy to be complacent about. Any product-related business tends to have crunch, whether it's making hardware or shipping devices. Motivation is the challenge. The longer the game cycle, there's a point where you hit a real low where nothing's being shown. Harrison also said that the part of the problem is that the games business continues to build new technology, increasing the workload of developers on top of their creative output. He says, I think that's a huge part of it. When Steven Spielberg goes to make a new film, he doesn't reinvent the Panavision camera. This is very true. With the exception of special effects, the traditional craft of making films hasn't really changed in the past 50 years. I beg to differ after I saw the making of Inception last night. I have never seen anything like that. We throw away the camera every time we start a new game. It's getting better. The fact that the middleware is more employing and building high-end products. If I was building a game for a major console release, I would think very hard about building my own tech, but almost certainly license something, he added. And this is from GI.biz. I am in agreement and not in agreement. I think a problem I have with people at Team Bondi that are complaining. If it was that horrible, you should have quit mid-game. You sure as hell waited until it was over and your paycheck before you complain, which is just get out.
Yes.
if it's bad, I will tell you now. Walk. I don't care if it's finished. Give me. I'm done. You waited until it was done, and I know you're under contract. But hey, if you signed the, we're going to go through all that. I understand why you stayed, but maybe not. It was horrible. Say something then. Maybe they could have. You could have changed something in the middle of it. But I see you guys waited until you got your paycheck. I'm just saying. Anybody else find that strange? Let's wait until the game launches, then let's cause problems. Or is that the mind of a brilliant marketing manager that says, let's make a big fuss about how hard you had to work? I don't know what's going on, but...
Ooh, well, that's an interesting take. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, you get more attention by causing some controversy. So I don't know which one it is, but shut up already. Get your money. It happens. We all work hard. Hell, anybody that works in fast food can tell you there's a crunch during lunchtime. Do they get angry and say,
true story.
I'm packing too many burgers. I'm quitting as soon as this is over. No, you know what people do that are packing too many burgers? They leave in the middle of the shift. I'm out of here. I'm done.
I'm done. Sorry. Not even getting a 2-week notice.
Can you put
don't
pickles
pay
on
me
this?
Enough for 2 week.
Can you put the pickles on it? No, I cannot put the pickles on this. I do not want to be here, and I'm leaving.
I'm taking my Whopper flipping skills and going home.
So I don't know what's going on with people. Work it out. Work it out. Stop the complaining. If you don't want to be there, leave. And if you do want to be there, shut up, do your job. But I do agree, technology should make it easier. And I do think you all need to take more frequent breaks, maybe. Maybe let them have a day off or work from home. I know a lot of developers that love it when they get to work at home. They say they feel more relaxed. And we do work in an age, especially with all the cloud stuff now, where you can work at home. You can.
Nobody can tell if you're coding drunk.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Did that guy just turn bright pink? Was that a unicorn?
Why is there a unicorn in my game? We didn't put that in there. Well, there's one in here. I'm looking at it. Screenshot.
Is that a My Little Pony?
He's a unicorn with a bag of drugs hanging from his horn. There you go.
Nice. All right. So, yeah, the random comments we have going on here.
Only on Lunch at Ginger Corey do you get this brand of zaniness.
You know, somebody's in here listening thinking, what in the heck are they on? All right. So, EA unveiled special editions of Star Wars The Old Republic. Pre-order today.
No, stop it.
All right. My friends that are, like, going crazy over this and have already built a guild and all this fun stuff. All right. Breathe. It'll be all right. Seriously. You're going to make it. Early game access and game content announced for highly anticipated with all pre-orders beginning today. Right. So the start of your personal Star Wars saga grows nearer. BioWare, a division of Electronic Arts, today revealed three editions of Star Wars The Old Republic, each custom designed to delight RPG and Star Wars fans worldwide. The Star Wars The Old Republic Collector's Edition, Digital Deluxe Edition, and Standard Edition are available for pre-order today at participating retailers, with digital versions available exclusively at Origin. So guess what? Yeah, I'm not getting the digital version, because, yeah, I'm not going to Origin. Screw you, Origin.
You don't have a choice.
God damn it.
If you're going to play, it's Origin or don't play. That's the whole point. EA, they tell you, oh, you could go buy it at a retailer, but guess what? When you get home, you're going to have the Origin downloader for updates. EA knows what they're doing. They got you.
I hate that. Yeah, you guys playing that, y'all may lose me over this. Upon pre-order, and I know somebody's looking at listening to this going, oh, yeah? So upon pre-order. We'll unlock early game access. Well,
she can't even talk now. You mentioned the necklace all of us.
Totally taunting. So as well as an in-game color stone to change your weapon effect. Pre-order quantities are limited and early game access will only be available to the... Stop breathing like that. I can hear you. I'm cracking up. All right, so pre-order quantities are limited, and early game access will only be available to those who pre-order the game and redeem their code before the game's official release. Star Wars The Old Republic has been honored with over 95 industry awards and accolades from game critics worldwide and continues to be one of the most anticipated launches of 2011. The game innovates and advances the MMO genre by emphasizing story as a key pillar of the experience, a proven strength of BioWare and Lucasfilms. As anticipation grows, BioWare also proudly announced today that Star Wars The Old Republic will open beta test weekends starting this September. These weekend play sessions will be open to selected players worldwide and create an opportunity for fans to get a sneak peek of the epic stories, worlds, quests, battles, and characters in the game. All right, so please visit StarWarsTheOldRepublic.com to register for game testing and to stay tuned through the throughout the summer for more details as they become available. So,
are you in trouble? Don't even try.
I'm not in trouble. The three editions of Star Wars The Old Republic are the Old Republic Collector's Edition. The Collector's Edition includes a host of virtual in-game and physical items for the ultimate Star Wars fan. Physical items include a Darth Malgus statue from Gentle Giant, the Journal of Jedi Master Nost Durrell from Chronicle Books, the Music of the Old Republic soundtrack, a security key, and a map for the in-game Star Wars galaxy. Virtual items includes a flare gun, training droid, personal holodancer, holocam, the stat vehicle,
and access to the collector's store and an in-game store with new in-game items exclusively for owners of the collector's edition. The collector's edition will also include 30 days of game time and has an MRP of $129.99.
Okay, Ruth. Yeah. You're right.
Sorry, yeah, a Windows update thing just popped up. I was like, what's that? It looks different. So, all right. Star Wars The Old Republic Digital Deluxe Edition has an MRP of $59.99, 30 days of game time, and 5 virtual items, including training, holo dancer, holo game, and staff vehicle.
You're doing some kind of weird breaking up thing. It could be just me because Michael Phelps trailer for the lovely people.
It could be. You keep breaking up on us.
Yeah, it's probably me. Curse you, Michael Phelps. Curse you.
Yeah. All right, well, the last one is the base edition of the game, and it's available at retailers online for an MRP of $49.99 and includes 30 days of game time, but nothing else. So, yeah. All right, Star Wars fans, the Old Republic, looks like y'all are going to get all kinds of goodies.
You can't make us take them. Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm, true story, you can't make us. Nope. No.
Well, the lovely
but
people.
If you want to read more about it, there's even more of the story over on GameMatrix.com.
All right. Yes, thank you.
Sorry.
Somebody is a bit frightened. What do you all think? Necklaces do that to people. All right. Angry Birds developer Romeo is betting all its chips on its phenomenally successful smartphone series, according to CEO Peter Vesterbacka and Eurogamer. Speaking at the Casual Connect conference in Seattle, as reported by Gamma Sutra, Vesterbacka explained that the Finnish developer was unlikely to replicate the game's success with a future title. Very true. So it intended to put all its weight behind Angry Birds. Bull. The other half said, word is daytime. He's after hit. We know. So we're betting everything on Angry Birds. Elsewhere in the talk, Vesterbacka announced that Rovio's aim for Angry Birds to become first entertainment brand with 1 billion fans, estimating that goal could be reached in 2 years. As of last month, the game has been downloaded 250 million times. Good.
They bought that game the last 2 or 3 years.
It's already starting to burn out, I think.
I think, especially announced, oh, we're coming out with a movie. Oh, God, no. No,
that
no.
That is a horrible, horrible, disgustingly horrible idea. And besides, somebody's already done it. The movie Rio with the birds pretty much is, you know, associated with Angry Birds, especially since they released a version of Angry Birds to go with Rio. So just walk away now. They're also saying that their merchandising empire is expanding beyond plush toys and T-shirts with a cookbook titled Bad Piggy's Secret Egg Recipes, also in the
really?
And
really,
it's a movie. Multiple movies is what they're planning. I'm going to say you just let it all go. Just cut it out.
Yes, do something because this is getting kind of ridiculous.
I love the game, but not that much. This is not like, I hate to bring it up, Halo. Halo, you can do a movie if they so chose, but they don't really have to. The games kind of play like movies in a sense. But no. I'm even worried about some of the other ones they're threatening to make movies out of, like Assassin's Creed and Splinter Cell. I'm worried about those. So this one, I'm not on board. I won't see it.
Mm-mm.
I don't care how many little girls in my family start crying. They want to see Angry Birds. They will not beat, not by me.
We don't care. We don't care how much they beat their little heads into the ground. Not happening.
I will get right in their face like I do all the kids in my family when they cry and say, cry. Cry harder.
Is evil.
That's not evil. You don't get what you want all the time in my family. That's the mantra when you're born. We start teaching you that as soon as you come out of the womb. You do not get what you want all the time. And if you cry, that's the worst way. We prefer our children cheeky and clever. You have to figure out a way to make me take you to see Angry Birds. You know, like wash my dishes or something. You know, do some laundry. You want to impress me. Anyway, crying don't work.
That is hilarious. All right. Well, I guess it's my turn again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we talked about Peggy get in the app yesterday. Well, ESRB is, well, not really following in the footsteps. They've already had this, but apparently we're going to announce it again. GamePolitics.com this morning, ESRB ratings app available for Windows Phone 7 devices.
I wonder why.
Uh-huh. The Entertainment Software Ratings Board announced today that its popular video games rating app is now available for Microsoft Windows Phone 7 devices. This free mobile app allows consumers easy access to video game ratings and detailed rating summaries. To make it easier for parents, the app allows them to take a photo of a game or name into the app to get information on the product. Ooh, that sounds kind of like what I was mentioning yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so summertime can mean video game time for many families, whether playing in the car, on the plane, or in the living room. But just like movies, not all games are appropriate for every child. This is coming from ESRB President Patricia Vance. So before buying a video game for a child, it's important to check the game's ratings and understand its terms. Today, we added our ESRB app to Windows Marketplace, further expanding parents' access to a game's rating or rating summary anytime, anywhere. In addition to the mobile app, parents may also check out the ESRB's Facebook page or follow ESRB on Twitter, which is at OK2Play. Yay!
Now... Yeah. Is it my turn? Are we done? Look, is it my turn?
You ain't doing another one? I can do another one.
No, I got one. I want to talk about these Super Meat Boy developers.
Okay.
I was kind of listening to you kind of thumbing through the comments underneath Game Politics. I love when there's sane people making comments. Sane. Good, well thought out comments. But Super Meat Boy developers.
There's sane people on the internet?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. They're all in that post. That's all the people that are left on the internet that are sane right underneath this comments right here. That's it.
Right.
Super Meat Boy developer Team Meat says they don't give a bleep about pirates. They don't care if you pirate their games. In fact, they know you're pirating them. They don't care. They're saying their game, our game? Yes, this is our game was hugely pirated, and we don't effing care. This is from Tommy Rufinus. I might be saying your name wrong. I want to say it right because you're awesome. And Edmund McMillan explained that if there are, let's say, around 200,000 copies of SMB, the Super Meat Boy, that are getting passed around for free, that's 200,000 people who are playing the game. If they like this game, there's a high probability of their friends coming around and seeing it or them posting about it on their blogs. The duo believes that shame will motivate some of the people downloading the game without paying for it. It's just it's not cool to go around and say, I really like this game that I stole, so they're not going to say that. So it's not going to it's going to come around to sales. Team Meat's attitude towards piracy is common among indie developers who would rather develop content for its paying customers than worry about a few people who are doing it in torrents. And this comes to Game Politics via the Escapist. Now, the comments, beautiful. Quite a few people commented that after they read this, they went and bought their game. There's one guy here that's like me. He says, I pirated a game, one game in the last 10 years, and it was World of Goo, and I ended up buying it as a standalone because it turned out to be a good game, and at first I didn't have the money, but when I got it, I went ahead and bought it. And he says he bought one for a friend and a family member.
Very nice.
So
three copies.
Yeah, so they got three copies off of one pirated copy. That's pretty damn good. And a lot of people are liking the attitude. Instead of wasting money, I think like this developer here says, implementing anti-piracy measures takes time and money that companies may not actually have. And two, it doesn't actually you're not stopping anybody from taking your game. Ginger. Y'all don't even want to know what Ginger just said to me. I'll tell you later tonight is when I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. When she'll be in the room where you can. You can
scared.
She ain't scared. I know she should be. Mm-hmm. I like the way they think. Anyway. I'm so tempted to say what you tell me.
I'm scared.
Why are you bad? Why?
It's not bad, it's the truth.
Yes, but you bad for say on air. Why? I had to go all into my accent. Some people are going to be like, I
don't even know what they're talking about, but this is hilarious.
Yeah, y'all want to know. So I will tell you later. You guys listening in the morning, pop by tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'll tell you exactly what Ginger just said to me. You ask in the chat room, I will type it to you. I will say it on air. I can't say it during the day. She's betting that I'll forget. That's the first thing I'm going to open the show with.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh so hard. It's going to be awesome. All right. So, defend yourself from cunning non-undead humans in multiplayer zombie smash.
No.
Wait a minute. What? All right. So, free multiplayer upgrade coming to hit iPhone and iPad game. Game also temporarily free. I love you, Corey. You've been awesome.
I'll tell you what she's laughing about later, too. Ha ha.
All right, so Game Doctors, an independent game development studio, today announced that an all-new way to play Zombie Smash and Zombie Smash HD will be added to both games in the next upcoming update. For the first time, the Zombie Smash games will be available for multiplayer competition, forcing players to defend themselves from a threat worse than the undead, their fellow humans. See, humans are evil. The multiplayer update is scheduled to arrive in early August, and to celebrate the new content on July 21st, Zombie Smash will be available for download for free from the App Store, while its iPad cousin, Zombie Smash HD, will be on sale for only 99 cents. In the new Zombie Smash multiplayer upgrade, the lone survivor, oh, poor Joey, it's always Joey, discovers he is not a lone survivor after all. Another heavily armed holdout, see, there's wrong. It's Joey and Danny. You need a girl and a guy, because otherwise you can't populate.
She knows.
Danny, another heavily armed holdout, has also braved the zombie apocalypse in his home from an equally outrageous arsenal, with an equally outrageous arsenal of weaponry. Unfortunately, the survivors' extreme paranoia is keeping them from working together, and the world of Zombie Smash simply isn't big enough for the two of them. And this is how humanity ends. All right, so the new multiplayer gameplay will include play head-to-head in a battle of to out-survive your rival, with the last man standing as the victor. split your resources between defensive weapons to keep zombies at bay and offensive maneuvers to direct powerful zombies at your opponents. Integrated game center support for easy matchmaking and unhealthy competition against friends. Voice chat, there we go, for trash talking from across the country. The multiplayer upgrade coming in August will be free to all players of Zombie Smash. The game can be downloaded from the App Store. I'm not going to give you that link, but if you head over to GameNatrix.com, you can get it from there.
Yay! Because we're evil. Oh, I got some good trailers and stuff going up for you. Gotham City Imposters. Yes, and post for you guys. Hero Teams. I like the music for this trailer. Look, Ginger's like, what? I didn't see that. Okay, so yeah. Lots of trailers this week. I like when they give us lots of good stuff. So let me tell you about... No, I'm kidding. Ginger was going to cut me. I talked about that.
But you know, I do that at least, once, twice a week to your stories.
Yeah. Girl, we're a busy bunch. But I do have some other interesting news for you. As soon as it gets done coming through, I love when I get it first. Don't y'all like that? I have a game we were harassing these people about some months ago called Glide. Wait a minute, did I tell you about that?
Nuh-uh. I don't think so.
Okay. I have to tell you about Beside. I would anyway if my word didn't just crash. Send us these huge docs. It's just wonderful. You people are wonderful. I hate you. So I will tell you instead about Paradox Interactive's new game. I'm assuming this is a game. Mr. Smith? Or Captain Smith?
No, I don't know.
Well, no, it's not a game, actually. I'm sorry. This is a... They've revealed today that former Rock Paper Shotguns journalist Quentin Smith has joined the global PC publisher. He'll be working on the marketing team as a creative marketing commissar. I like that word. While continuing to pursue his freelance writing career part-time, he's they're saying, we've often joked that if Paradox were made a media site, we'd aspire to be like Rock Paper Shotgun. What is that supposed to mean, Paradox? Look, we will break up with you. As they combine a passion for PC platform and incredibly intelligent, witty, and sometimes scrutinizing articles of the industry. That's from Susan Meza-Graham. Yeah, I'm sending them an angry letter. We are breaking up with you, Paradox. It is over between us. Not really. Send us some more games. Okay, so it says, we've been big fans of Quentin's work for a long time, and when he left RPS, we immediately made him an offer he couldn't refuse. It also helped that Quentin appears to think that Stockholm is in California. See?
What? All right.
In any case, he'll be an amazing addition to what I dare say is one of the strongest publishing teams in the industry today. Quentin will share his time between London and Stockholm and work on the entire product portfolio. Some of his most appreciated work, of course, can be found in his farewell column over at rockpapershotgun.com. And he says, I had a tremendous time interacting with Paradox as a journalist when they asked if I'd like to start working for them while continuing to work on projects of my own. It was an easy decision. This represents an opportunity for me to work more closely with people I respect and games that I love. I originally wrote in that last sentence that this represents an opportunity for me to get even more involved with people I respect, but that sounds a bit suggestive. I'm glad I changed it. He says, you don't turn down a job in California. yeah, you do. Okay, so people, the moral of this story is learn to write properly. I think I gave somebody a grammar lesson yesterday, and whoever was offended, then that means you have terrible grammar.
Very nice.
Good writers always get good jobs. Mm-hmm. Like one day, Ginger's going to try to leave us. We're going to shoot her in the leg when she tries to go. But
no, so, don't shoot me.
It's all right. It'll be a flesh wound. You'll be a hero.
yeah, don't shoot me.
Well, you're going to shoot us. Somebody's got to get shot.
Yes, I think Corey needs this next game.
You got 3 minutes.
3 minutes, I can do that. GamePolitics.com looks like they pulled it from MSNBC by way of Wenda Benedetti. Deepak Chopra and THQ get spiritual about games. All right, so Deepak Chopra is working with publisher THQ to develop a video game about meditation, chakras, spirituality. According to MSNBC's in-game blog, Chopra has joined forces with THQ to create the game called Leela. The game is reportedly set for a November 8 release on the Xbox 360 and Wii. The game will use the Xbox 360 Kinect motion sensor or Wii remote to mimic meditation exercises on screen. Peter Armstrong, director of product development at THQ, told InGame that his company created more than 500 different prototypes in an attempt to properly encompass Chopra's teachings into a video game format. While many games and challenges related to the body's seven chakras, am I saying that right? Chakras?
Yes, sure.
Chakras increase in difficulty, apparently the game places no importance on a final score or even finishing a given exercise. This sounds like a perfect game for me. The writer says this sounds the perfect game for me because I have a general commitment.
I'm done.
That's
done.
Hilarious. I'm going to try this out just to see.
I love a good meditation game. The one for the meditation you have at the original Wii Sports. It's very nice. Little you move and a guy yells at you, but it's nice.
Yes, you're supposed to be sitting and not moving, and yeah, you move just a little bit and he's all like, you're moving. Sorry.
Stop fidgeting.
Yes. Sorry, I was about to take a drink and you made me laugh.
All right. Well, it is time for our break. We don't mean this next song. Not to you guys. We love you.
How far is this? I wasn't talking.
You know what it's like? GameGames.com, GameGamesVideos.com, iTunes, Now, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're so welcome. That guy's cute. You remember that part of the movie? Scott Pilgrim, Crashing the Boys?
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Somebody call. Tell me what his name. No call. No calls during the day show. Call me tonight. Tell me what his name was. He's so cute. He needs syrup on him. Mm-hmm. Oh, anyway. So, is it my turn? It's my turn.
It is your turn.
Well, after this massive document opened up, now I can tell you all about Beside, which we told you about a few months ago. If you listen to us every day, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What do you mean you don't listen every day? This is from a company called AltShift. And for those of you, well, we are just cut off. Sorry. Okay, so this company called AltShift, and they're launching the beta for their current for their geosocial MMO Beside. They're a new studio, actually. I'm trying to get details. People, they're a young studio, and on the 25th, which is in a few days, they're going to launch the beta version. It is an MMO. It's available on Facebook. There's a browser version. It'll also be on iTunes, on iPhone. The game was actually created just last month. It's a video game specialized in applications using geolocation to display game elements in a parallel virtual world in order to facilitate real encounters between players. I love the idea of this. This is what I'd design if I had the resources. They're the winner of the French Department of Research 2010 Innovation Contest. And thanks to this project, AltShift launches again on the 25th, the beta version of Beside. And again, it's the first ever location-based MMO. I know there's some people that have tried to do something similar, but it's not going to be as epic as this. At least I hope this will be epic. It allows you, the player, to participate in the defense of Eora, a parallel world in which creatures, the animas, protect a tree of life, regularly attacked by pests. The goal is simple, help the animas to protect their tree of life and the magical ambers that give it strength against the incessant plague attacks. How do you do this? Well, by rescuing the trapped animas on the map, by collecting geolocated resources to grow the animas in the tree of life, and by helping the animas protect the tree embers against the scourge. Scourge is always bad.
Scourge is always bad. Always, always bad.
That's right. Okay, so and of course, the more ambers you bring to the tree of life, the more its strength is against its enemies and rewards you with special powers and personal distinctions. Collaborative GeoQuests will also allow players to play together to release more animas, find rare items, and ultimately grow their community tree faster than others. So there's some competitive gameplay. I like this. And indeed, at first login, each player must choose a tree to defend. Some players will choose to protect the tree of life close to their home. Others will choose a tree near their work or the tree in which their friends are already connected. In the end, everyone contributes through his or her geotagged actions to defend his or her community. I like this idea. The beta proposed by AltShift will be limited at present to about 500 user accounts corresponding to the first 500 fans on the game's Facebook page besides. So hurry up and register. I'm already there. The iPhone version is also available in beta through the test flight platform, and soon on iTunes. Mainly solo, this private version will progressively integrate some multiplayer features based on geolocation. As such, this first version aims to gather initial feedback from the community so as to make their game evolve closer to the expectation of social gamers. I love the idea of this. Anybody else excited?
That does sound kind of neat.
It sounds really neat. It kind of sounds very similar to what's that, the ghost game that's coming out for 3DS, where there's stuff, you know, when you hold the camera up, you can see things, you know, around you that you can't see with your eyes, supposedly, through the game.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't wait to play. I like these kind of games. Good. See, these are the games that become the next Halos that are different and new.
Yes, and we love some Halos. Oh, I love me some Master Chief. Master Chief!
I don't know about you and Master Chief. I told you. The time is coming when this new one comes out, I think you and Master Chief are going to break up.
Possibly. I hope not, though. And if it is, I hope it's one of those hot breakups, you know, with all the whole makeup. anyways. GamePolitics.com. It looks like they pulled this from Gamma Sutra. Try on worlds, gold farmers hurt everyone. You think? All right, so Try on Worlds, makers of Rift Online, studio general manager Scott Hartzman says that the business of gold farming hurts both developers and players. He says, if you're talking about what different kinds of fraud exist in the world, the ones that for us as a developer and publisher, the kinds of fraud that concern us the most are the actual credit card fraud. This is coming from Hartzman. According to Hartzman, the same people that sell gold to players then turn around and steal their credit card information.
What?
Who wrote this?
Anyway, so where you go buy gold from a disreputable gold site and they say thank you and deliver your gold and sell your credit card number or start registering accounts with your credit card. At those kinds of things where people laugh and go, oh, that never happens. No, it happens. Yes, it does, people. It does happen. Mm-hmm. It happens it happens a crap load. to the point where over the last 3 or 4 years, I would dare anybody to ask an exec at a gaming company how much they've had to pay in MasterCard and Visa fines because of fraud. It happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Hartzman goes on to say that the effects of this kind of stuff on gamers are palpable, yeah. So those fines are money that should be going into making games better, and instead they're going into fighting the fact that people are jerks in the world. Yes, there are jerks, lots of jerks in the world. The full feature, an in-depth look into how economies work in MMOs, features quotes from developers and analysis from MMO, Where is this taking me? Where is this link going?
Nowhere. Just causing problems.
Yeah, apparently. All right. I would give it to you, but the link's not working. So, if you want to read it, gamepolitics.com.
No, I don't want to read it. You can't make me.
You should. I love some gamepolitics.com.
No, I don't want to read it, and you can't make me.
Okay. Well, then don't do it.
She has no sass today. Maybe her necklace is not tight enough.
I'm too tired for sass.
That necklace is not too tired for sass. Let's tighten it up. Tighten it up.
No necklace on. No necklace.
Yes, she does. She wears two necklaces at the same time. Okay, so.
Wait a minute. I'm going to ask about that one later. What?
Sometimes it's just best to leave it vague. Okay, so Ubisoft not doing so well.
Uh-oh, are they in trouble again?
Yeah, an analyst from Sterni Agee, you know, Arvind Bhatia, who is just all over our news all the time, is noting that while recently reported Ubisoft earnings for the fiscal first quarter bettered expectations, the company's estimates for second quarter are far lower than expected. They posted their figures for the first quarter of the current fiscal year yesterday, and noting sales of $103 million, which is about $146.3 million here, are down to 36.3% compared to a year ago, which is and this figure exceeded both the company and analyst expectations of $90 million, which is around $126.9 million here for that period. Badia's new report notes, however, that the publisher's expected sales for the second quarter is far lower than that which is estimated by them. Ubisoft has estimated that sales will be around, let me just do the U.S. because I don't know if this is francs, quid, pounds, whatever, euros, whatever, $140.8 million this quarter of this fiscal year, while Badia estimates that the figure to be more along the lines of $231.8 million. The analyst says that the sales in the second quarter will be driven by releases such as Driver, San Francisco, Call of Juarez, The Cartel, which came out yesterday, and Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Trilogy. And it better be good, Tom Clancy, or I'm going to find you.
She's going to find you.
I am not happy about that last Splinter Cell. Ugh. Overall, Sterni Agee estimates that Ubisoft will see a full-year revenue of around $1.53 billion. Yes. After the current fiscal year, however, it warned that the company is placing too much dependency on the most popular franchises, Assassin's Creed and Just Dance. I concur.
Yes.
I haven't played any of the Assassin's Creed since the first one, to be honest with you. I want to because, you know, I think the characters are hot. I love looking at the trailers, and I do like Just Dance, but I don't own a copy of either, so what does that tell you? They haven't inspired that in me where I need to be outside the store and, you know, pressed up against the glass going, open.
That's kind of hot, Corey.
Must have it.
Yes, and all the guys in the room just went, oh.
Well, I'm serious. You know, during when GTA launched, I was threatening to elbow people in the eye. I was very serious.
That is hilarious.
I was nice because they did offer to let us go to the front of the line. You know, we GGR, we roll like that. But I was like, no, I'll stand in line. But I was seventh in line. Seventh, what does that tell you? Mm-hmm. Out of a line of 40 some odd people. I was seventh. I was not playing. And this guy's like, maybe I should cut in front of you. Maybe you should catch your elbow to the eye.
That is awesome.
I walked to my truck all fast, had the game under my shirt. Somebody has a picture of that somewhere because I was not joking around. Nobody has taken my GTA, so I haven't done that since then. Nobody has inspired that in me for the game.
Corey went all gangster.
I did.
That is awesome.
I did. I had on my gaming T-shirt with the big controller on the side. I have a ZQ77 bought that for me for my birthday. So I always wear that when I go to gaming events. Yeah. Thank you, ZQ. Thank you. She's so sweet. Don't tell her I said that. I'll go to her head. All right. One more.
All right. From news of the, oh, my God, I can't believe you're actually having a competition for this. Jackie's Electronics holds gaming competition season four, to crown the best racer of Wii's Mario Kart game.
Actually, that's kind of funny.
The UAE race is on to hail the next gaming champion at Jackie's Electronics Gaming Competition Season 4, happening from the 27th through the 30th of July 2011 at its Merd Diff City Center and Dubai Mall outlets. Jackie's Electronics is inviting all video games enthusiasts in the country to take part and play the all-time favorite character Mario via the Mario Kart game. Sponsored by Nintendo and in association with the ITP.net, participants will battle out one another to win a 32-inch TV and latest edition of Nintendo Wii console with the game bundle.
Ooh.
I hope I don't kill your name. I'm sorry. Ashish Punjabi, Chief Operating Officer of Jackie's Electronics, says, "It has been our tradition for years to stage friendly gaming competitions from PC-based to console-based gaming. The UAE's gaming community is continuously growing, and console-based gaming currently dominates with Wii, as one of the most popular products on the market. Nintendo are one of the pioneers in the gaming console business, and the Nintendo Wii was one of those devices that revolutionized gaming.
Mm-hmm,
The interactivity that the Wii consoles brought to gaming has seen the Wii become a device that the whole family can enjoy. The Mario Kart game that we're using for competition is one of the most recognizable video games on the Wii platform, with its new set of tricks, brand new tracks and arenas, and way to play. The game has gained tremendous fan base, even in the UAE, due to the worldwide racing feature via the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection that shows regional and worldwide races." This is also from Punjabi. All right, so the gaming competition is open for all gaming enthusiasts, and everyone can register from the 21st to the 26th of July. And if you want to do that, you can either do that at any of the Jackie's outlets across the UAE, or you can go to itp.net/Jackie's-gaming-competition. All right. So that is kind of awesome.
I want to play.
We're not in the UAE, but that would be awesome. Somebody should send us tickets. Somebody rich over there who, you know, loves us. I know y'all are listening. Send us some tickets. And a nice hotel room. First class, mate.
That means they'll want to be in the hotel room. You know how this works.
Yeah, all right.
Some of you might not mind in the hotel, but some. See, somebody's going to be like, me? No, not you. You the one that's asking me? No, not you. All right, it is time for us to go. I have to go obsess over my new obsession. And
Ooh, new obsession?
Yes, it's the song. If you are my other Facebook page, you know what I'm obsessing about. I was talking about it last night. This song from Inception. I tried not to be obsessed, but I am. I have to listen to it. It's all... Yeah. Anyway. I am obsessed. I don't know why. I think it's the horns. It's so beautiful.
Ooh.
I love a good piece of music. Yes, not what y'all thought I was going to say. Dirty people.
Mm-mm.
Y'all are so dirty. You know what? They are awfully dirty. Anyway, I'm going to give y'all a little bit of this.
And head over to Game Matrix in a little bit. I am uploading a conversation with none other than GLaDOS.
Oh, I suppose I need to make sure I mention that. GLaDOS, see? We give you interviews nobody else can get.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see the picture, GLaDOS. She's all laid out, looking all sexy on top of
her.
I
know.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, y'all know what? Leroy, it's over. No, I'm sorry. Paradox is over, not Leroy.
I've been working on a cocktail called Grabs for Divorce.
And she's tries to take over the podcast.
I see that.
Girl, that's
not. That's not very nice.
Remember, guys, we will be on again tonight if you miss us. And that we're going to go ahead and go because Gladys is not letting this happen.
Mm-mm.
She does not play around. Ginger, tell them bye before Gladys takes over completely.
Bye, boys and girls. Mwah.